Hi there, you're listening to the British Dressage Podcast, bringing you closer to our sport with news, rider interviews, and some inspiring advice. I'm Camille Peters, and in this series, I'm joined by Ruth Dancer of White Griffin to talk about where extended trot crosses over with emissions. That's it, we're going to be talking sustainability. Stay tuned as we explore what sustainability is, what British Dressage is doing about it, and how you can improve your carbon footprint. Hi Ruth, thanks for joining me today. So we've got three episodes upcoming, all about the BD and BS sustainability strategy, which was launched in December 2023 and is big news really for both of our organisations. We're working together in collaboration and we're working with yourself at White Griffin to make sure that we're doing everything we can to improve our environmental sustainability. So I'm going to get started by just breaking it down really and trying to improve our knowledge on this hugely important topic. So my first question to you is, what is environmental sustainability?
Yeah, that's a big question. But I try and simplify it as much as possible because it's a term or topic that has been greatly confused, which doesn't help with us progressing what we need to do. So to us, environmental sustainability is quite literally making sure that we're only taking what the earth can sustain so that we are able to continue doing what we're doing for many years into the future. So put quite simply, focusing from a land point of view on making sure that we are taking care of our soil, that we're taking care of our ecosystem so that it continues to sustain us, and making sure that we're not polluting the atmosphere, we're not releasing too many greenhouse gases in such a way that the earth cannot cope and we end up with extreme weather events, not taking too much water so that we can continue to drink, to take care of our horses, to look after our surfaces, etc. Really just not being wasteful and understanding that the reason why planet Earth is the most amazing place in the universe is because it's about balance. It's the only place that we're aware of that can sustain such extraordinary life. And that's because Mother Nature has this incredible inbuilt understanding and ability to balance. And so environmental sustainability is about humans relearning that art of balance and only taking what we can sustainably use on an ongoing basis.
And I think we've seen quite often, probably more often lately, how that balance is tipping out of kilter on a global scale. We see some quite terrifying damage, you know, wildfires, flooding, drought. But of course, we're feeling those effects closer to home too. What are the impacts here in the UK? You know, we were just talking before we came onto this call about what a wet winter we've had in England. What are the impacts? What are we recognising at home here in Britain?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point because I think language is so important, isn't it? For as long as I can remember, we've talked about global warming. And I think people, bizarrely, kind of see it as a good thing because of course when we get this extreme weather, what do you see on the front page of the news? You see lots of people down at Brighton Beach or you know having a wonderful time in a lovely sundress. Yeah. And oh, heat wave, you know, sort of this is my island in the sun, and you think that all sounds really, really nice. You know, we've got lovely vineyards in the UK now and all this, but global warming is probably the wrong word to use, and climate change is better because, as you say, what we're getting is milder, wetter winters and hotter, drier summers. And interspersed into all that are extreme moments of heat wave, storms. We even had fires in the UK last year. I mean, we sort of associate wildfires with California, probably.
Yeah.
And even, I suppose, Europe. And we had so these dreadful images, particularly in Greece. But we had fires in parts of the UK last year because of the extreme heat and dryness. So from an equestrian point of view, I find it very interesting because we are very much an outdoor sport of nature. And so we feel those changes. We see those changes. We see our horses stood in sort of knee deep in flooded valleys, literally just a mile down the road from me, that they are wading in a foot of water right now, right now. And although you will naturally have people say, well, but we've always had rain in winter, it's always been this, it's always been that, it's the frequency and the ferocity that is the problem. And as you say, we're seeing it more and more, and we are so close to that tipping point now where it's not in our control anymore to decide what happens to us, where Mother Nature ultimately takes over. So we are at the beginning of what's to come if we don't change.
And you mentioned horses there. We wouldn't have British dressage without horses. We're all about bringing people and horses together in harmony. And of course, if we don't get this right now, we're not going to be able to do that in the future. We rely so heavily on the natural world, and it is obviously having a big effect on equestrianism. Can you just, break that down for us? How will this impact horse sport if we don't make sure we're doing the right things?
There's lots of different ways. I think that the most evident one is what we've just talked about. So physically, the ground conditions, the conditions in which we're keeping our horses, very difficult to keep horses out when the ground is so churned up, so wet. It's bad for the land, but also it's a concern for horses' health, particularly hoof health, that sort of thing. Equally, in the extreme heat, particularly when we see unseasonable shifts. So when we get these spikes in sort of February or March, where you'll suddenly have a day that's 10 degrees higher than you would expect, that's a big shift for a horse. As a human being, we'll just go into our house or we'll adapt. The horse doesn't necessarily have that regulation option. So you've got horse welfare issues, you've got ground condition issues. Admittedly, that's more of a concern for people like British Eventing or Endurance GB, where they only have the option to be outside. Obviously, you're fortunate in dressage that you do have the option to be inside, you do have the option to be on different surfaces. But there are lots of other ways. So, for example, what people might not know too much about is climate change affecting biosecurity. So, with our increase in temperature in this country, we're now becoming far more hospitable to mosquitoes and other vectors that bring disease, which, going back to this is my island in the sun, hooray, and now I'm surrounded with mosquitoes. Not quite the future maybe people had in mind, but it is a, I'm laughing, but it is a very, very serious point, because those mosquitoes can carry very deadly diseases like West Nile virus and African sickness virus. And I'm pleased to say that the government have formulated a very important infectious disease task force to have an action plan in place. But that action plan means essentially quarantining and shutting down major areas. So when you're thinking about dressage and you want to go and compete across the county border, or you maybe you live in Devon and you want to be competing somewhere over in Norfolk, you're not going to be able to do that if these infectious diseases come into the UK. So another area of concern is actually the provision of our resources, so our feed and our bedding. We
Yeah,
have to
absolutely.
remember, we have to remember that, you hear a lot about football doing things for the environment, but they're not worried about feeding their horses. They're not worried about fresh straw for their horses' bedding. They're not, we are an agricultural sport and we depend on the land. If that land is compromised because of extreme weather events, because of flooding, we're not going to have those vital products for our horses. A farmer I know would normally produce 100,000 bales in a year. Last year, he did 68,000, and the quality was quite poor because we just, he says we don't have seasons anymore. We just have weather. And so it's much harder to manage. So there's all these complex issues that directly impact a dressage horse or a rider.
Kind of touched on it there, but I think just to summarize, before we get really stuck into the BD and BS strategy and what we're going to be doing to help improve our environmental sustainability, why is it important that we, as a collective of horse owners and riders, strive for a sustainable future, not only affecting horse sport, but also the bigger picture?
Yeah, I mean, this gets right to the heart of why our organization, White Griffin, spends it at least 75% of our time working in horse sports, because as I say, we're an agricultural sport, and that is a good thing and a bad thing. It means that we are very severely impacted by climate change and all the associated impacts of environmental sustainability. But also we're land users, both through the provision of the hay and straw, as I said, but just on a fundamental basis, that riding schools, livery yards, training yards, breeders, the full gambit of the horse sport industry uses, relies upon, and owns a substantial amount of land. And moving forward, land use is going to become the most important consideration worldwide, but certainly in our country, ensuring that we're doing the right thing, that we're protecting nature, that we're storing carbon with our land properly. Because, as I said at the beginning, life on Earth is only sustained through a healthy ecosystem, and our sport impacts and depends upon that ecosystem. So we can have a huge positive impact on the future that we create. Equally, as a sport, we are very greenhouse gas thirsty. We use a lot of diesel for our generators and for our transportation, more so than any other sport. Again, because of our agricultural practices, that's a very carbon intensive process. Farming, as we know, is a very carbon intensive process, a very necessary one. Farmers do a great job of, trying to minimize and changing what they're doing. But at a fundamental level, it's very carbon intensive to produce the stuff that we need. So we can have a big impact by minimizing our emissions and thinking about the way that we use our land and doing an incredible job for nature.
That's fantastic. And hopefully, by raising awareness on these topics as well, it's our responsibility at British Dressage to educate our members, horse owners, and riders. We are going to be trying really hard to put this at the front of what we're doing. And if we can persuade people to make changes in their own lives as well, then hopefully we'll all be on the right path.
Absolutely. And it's really important to know that as an individual, you have impact, you have that power. I always worry that when someone says, "Oh, but I only have an acre of land, what good can I possibly do?" But you have to remember, how many members have you got? 18,000 or something?
Yep, 18,500, yep.
18,500. So if 18,500 people are all saying, "Well, I can't really have an impact because I've only got," your collective impact, when you think about the volume of land that is dedicated to pasture in this country, it's considerable. I mean, more than 78% of the land in this country is agricultural, and a significant proportion of the grassland is for equestrians. So it's really important to think, I do have power, I do have value, the choices I make as an individual do matter, because as a collective, we would have a huge impact on the challenges that we face now.
And we're going to be coming on to some top tips a little bit later. So we've got a couple more episodes coming up. We'll address those things that our members actually can make a difference in, thinking about what they have an impact on, what they can change. And we're going to talk to you with some top advice to offer them. So thank you, Ruth. We're going to continue our conversation with two more episodes on the BD sustainability strategy.